Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Advanced Warfare. I'm fresh back from the IWOG, run by Josh Thomas and his crew, and the Rolling Sixes. With me tonight is obviously my main man, Scott. Scott, what's going on?
Much. Glad to be here.
So we didn't have a whole lot released for as far as news. We had a couple demon stuff released. We were choosing not to really go over it because nothing substantial where we can be like, this is going to be meta shifting, this is going to change the game. The only thing we'll say is that the demon save is going to annoy people, and it's going to make certain people happy. It's going to annoy Tau players, and it's going to make GSC happy, I think. I don't even know. I mean, maybe not. Still, I don't know. GSC might still be in a rough shape. But anyway, moving forward.
Yeah, I think it'll help. If you have mass, no AP and stuff, it'll be good.
Right, because how it works is they have two saves. Front save, the first save you see is a save against shooting, and the back save is against melee.
Yep.
Well, did you get any games in while I was away at Iowa?
That was my last game. No, I don't think so. No, I played a game. Yeah, I played Jack on Sunday night. That was fun. He was playing Death Guard into my Necrons, and it was pretty bloody.
You're being so modest. Poor Jack. Jack, we love you, but Death Guard.
Yeah, Jack just didn't have a good plan going into the game, so like he was just kind of testing out like a Death Guard army to see if he wanted to try it out, and I was playing a pretty tuned Necron list, so it was pretty ugly. So yeah, I'm working on tuning up my list for either Flying coming up here, and then the upcoming GW events as well. So assuming, you know, the three month data slate should be coming here pretty soon, I would think. I think that'll probably be in September sometime. So, because I think the last one was what, in June?
Right? Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So I expect that to drop probably before the GW event. So that'll kind of might shift the meta, might not.
Well, I mean, yeah, you know,
the game feels pretty balanced right now. I mean, there's obviously some stuff that needs to be fixed. Like,
we'll see if it really does anything. But the balanced data slate has, you know, they've done nothing but good. You know, there's been obviously some stuff that people are a little bit chirping about, like the two inch wall thing. But like we talked about last time, and I think we actually maybe it was last night on the Patreon episode. But
it was on Patreon.
The 2-inch wall thing doesn't come up as often as you think, and it really saves people from cheesing you from being able to charge you just because of a wall. And like I said in the Patreon episode, I think it's silly that a Space Marine can't just bust his hand through a wall and choke slam a guardsman. You know what I mean? Like, he should be able to do that.
Yeah.
But
I would like to see maybe like GSC and Guard get a little bit more love, because I mean, I don't know when the Guard Codex is coming. We're seeing previews for Demons and Voltan, but absolutely nothing for previews for Guards, so it makes me assume that they're pretty far out still.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'm wrong. I do have some Guard bottles I wouldn't mind putting on the table, but
I've got a little bit of,
hopefully
the
next balance that slate gives them a little bit more love, because they're what, at like a 40, they're averaging like about a 40% win rate. I think GSC is on the lower ends of the 40s too. Like they're right around 45 or below.
I might be speaking out of my butt here a little bit, but I feel like I got a good grasp on this game. And the fact that they're buffing the wrong stuff in Guard, in my opinion, is not helping. What I mean by that is they legitimately are buffing like their tanks and such. The problem with Guard, in my opinion, is their lack of durability to stick around on an objective. So, do with that.
With the OBSEC, yeah.
With the OBSEC, yep.
Yeah, and I mean, GW, like, the design philosophy of what it appears to be for 9th edition is anti-horde. They don't want to see 200 models on a table, so I think that's why you're seeing Guard not really get buffed any more than what they have. You know, they get all the free upgrades at this point on the Guard squads, but they just don't have any durability.
Right.
So, until they get, like, some sort of strats or some sort of defense that they could do, I mean, it's just in a good spot. And nobody wants to play against 300 guardsmen. Just
what?
Oh,
What do you
that'd
mean?
just be brutal.
Oh.
Yeah, so I mean, hopefully Guard gets a little love, GSC gets a little love, because I mean, they both have very similar profiles in their troops, where GSC hits a little harder than the Guard troops, obviously, but I mean, they don't have any durability, just like the
Yep.
GSC don't have any durability, so they
Yep.
can't really stick on objectives that are out in the open at all.
And not only that, but the game's gotten so deadly that not very many people can stick around the objectives. But we're seeing stuff like, what is it? Chaos Space Marines with two wounds, like my Noise Marines. If I'm not careful, they just do not stick around. Like, if I leave them on an objective, even in cover, the game is so deadly, it's just, ouch.
Yeah, and Guard doesn't have like a viable melee threat at all. So like they can't, if they run their Guard squad out to put them on an objective to try and take it, there's so much stuff that can heroically intervene. Regular units that they have strats and stuff that they can heroically intervene. Like if you don't manage to shoot that unit dead, your Guard squad's probably gonna get killed in melee or something. Like you're not taking that objective. So, that's where I don't know. It just feels like that's kind of their struggle. They don't have like Ogryn. You look at like what a Bulgrin does versus like what a Tyranid warrior does. Sure, like the same points. It's kind of crazy. Like it's not even the same. Is that the same game?
Yeah,
But we digress a little bit here.
yeah, it's fine. But yeah, that's pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean
Guard,
overall, I
guard,
mean,
guard.
but overall the game is in a really good spot. I don't expect the balance to escalate, in the next month and a half. That's really going to change the game too terribly much. I mean, maybe they'll do some Nephilim adjustments to some of the secondaries between like what, some of them that are just auto 15s, so it's kind of tone some of those back a bit. Necrons being the prime example. Sisters got some ones that are kind of auto 15s. Maybe they just cap those ones that are really easy to get at 12. You can't go above 12 on them, so you stop people from those hundreds.
Yeah, the cap needs to come into play for certain people like Necrons. You jerk.
Yeah.
You jerk.
I mean, honestly, I mean, they could very well cap that at I mean, if you cap them at 12, so the Necron player score is 91 instead of 100.
Yep, that's fair.
I mean, woo.
Also fair. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, it I think there's some work that can do there and the balance in there. I don't. Previous balance data slates haven't really touched. Nachmed or Nephilim or even whatever the one before Nachmed was. They didn't really touch the rules or any of the missions or anything like that, so maybe it won't. I don't know.
Right.
But having the secondaries in there is kind of a new thing, so.
You mean in the Nachman book?
Well, the Nephilim book with like the faction secondaries is kind of a new
Oh,
thing. Where
that thing.
normally
Oh, gotcha.
those could get addressed in the balanced data slate because it's in the because they were in the codexes before. Not that they touched them anyway, I don't think. But I don't know. It seems like they balanced the game a little bit with the secondaries because armies that are not as strong got really good. Got some of them got really good secondaries. So.
Yeah, some of them did, but God, then you get people like, I don't really want to say this, but Eldar.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like one of my league games, we were playing Eldar, and like, neither of us realized how terrible that hidden path one is. The one where you pick an objective, because it has to be wholly 6 inches outside of your deployment zone. So, like on Tide of Convergence, that doesn't work there because those two objectives close to you are within the center of them is 6 inches out. So the objective is technically within 6 inches. It's a 40 mil base or whatever. So it doesn't work. So it makes that secondary. There's only like the five objective missions where you have them kind of out in the middle. It can work on those, but that makes it that much harder because it's 12 inches or more from your deployment zone. You got to go out and go get them,
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Yep. But and then you got Necrons, which we went over in the Patreon episode. I'm sorry I keep referencing that, but
Yeah,
it's the
I mean,
first time.
we went through that last night with the Patreon and
Yep.
yeah.
It's strong. Strong. If you guys want to check it out, patreon.com, AW40K. Advanced Warfare 40K.com. One of the things
we go through the
was that?
Yeah, we hit up like the Necron secondaries and just Necrons in general, and then Death Card as well. So,
yep,
good conversation.
Yep, definitely very good. So, Iowog, we went down as a team. Frozen North brought, I believe, 4 or 5, maybe even 6 people. There was quite a few of us from Minnesota as well. Mike V from the podcast was down there from the Patreon, so he did very well, I believe. But overall, my impressions of the event itself. The event is it's well run, absolutely well run. Some things that I would say I'm not used to down there, and I'm phrasing this carefully because I don't think by any means that the terrain was bad down there. The pieces are not bad. The way the terrain was set up was very shooting favorable, but to be fair, the GW terrain is set up very melee favorable. So, I mean, is that really unfair? I don't think it is. You know, like, I think that it's okay to have a shooting heavy thing, but it does end up giving you a feels bad when you fight, let's say, I don't know, Death Guard on Planet Bowling Ball, and they're able to shoot you with 24-inch range guns turn one when they move 5 inches. But that was like a me problem, not necessarily an event problem. You know what I mean? There are definitely some lists that could hide that had more speed than me that could be further back. I just couldn't hide. But I'll go over that in more detail. My single solo loss to Charlie Andre. But starting off, I play Tyler White from the Kamikazes. He's a Chicago native. Tyler, if you're listening, it was a fantastic game. I look forward to our games in the future. And that's like, this is going to sound weird, but it's the first time I can say that, right? And I'm okay with that. You know, I think that everybody deserves a chance to do better, and he did. So that's something I can appreciate. Sisters into Noise Marines, pretty tough matchup. Pretty tough. And what I mean by that is, like, he doesn't have long-range shooting, and he has to get close to me. And when we were, like, this is where the terrain benefited me. The objectives being in the open like they were, I had the ability to just shoot him off objectives. And he had to come push me off of melee, which he did. But some key highlights in this game is my Demon Prince absolutely went wild, and he should have died, and he didn't, and he just ended up taking the entire side of the board away and then reviving my left flank. But overall, I took banners, I took assassination, I believe, because he had a ton of characters, and then I took Adorn.
You didn't fall into that trap?
Adorn. That's kind of a trap. It's a trap against like something like my Templar, where I don't have anything out to go reach out and grab the characters, but with my Demon Prince being able to advance and charge, that's not a trap.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, I went and smacked Vol into outer space, so. Actually, I think Vol lived. I smacked his Canidus into outer space. Either way. So he ended up coming up my left flank. I took his right flank, and he just ended up focusing Noise Marines, and then my character slowly murdered him. But my Demon Prince ended up killing, like, I think, 6 Paragon Warsuits, 3 Mortifiers. I took Bring It Down, not Assassinate. That's right. I did not fall for that trap. And then at the end of the game, my Demon Prince went over and contested an objective and failed to kill a Rhino, which is silly after picking up as much stuff as he did. So, deserved. Second round, that was against Charlie. This is where I got shot off the board by Death Guard. He got to go first. He didn't pick up too much, but in my response was not great. So when I shot him second turn, and just so you know, the secondaries were very similar. I think he took banners and no prisoners and psychic interrogation, and then I took psychic interrogation with banners and Adorn the Canvas Eclectic. Which was a mistake, but it wouldn't have mattered what secondary I picked there. I was not going to win this game because I got shot off the board. So first turn, he killed like three Noise Marines and put a couple wounds on my Land Raider. My return fire, I killed three or four Plague Marines, not enough. So then he was close enough where he could, you know, start engaging me in melee and all that stuff. And he shot more Noise Marines dead. He ended up shooting like four Plasma and one Blight Launcher into my nine-man squad, which had gotten out to shoot his Plague Marines with the Mortal Wounds. And I killed three. And his return fire killed eight. So, from the same squad. So, just kind of a rough for saves, rough for cover. And the only complaint, this is where I'm going to do my little complaint on terrain. The only thing that mattered is that on tide of convergence, I had crates covering my objective. The cans that were there that could block line of sight were touching the objective, but there was nowhere I could hold the objective and be in cover, so it was a pointless piece of terrain that just took away from me being able to a certain area of holding. And then the objective that was in cover on the right, the only way to hold it was to be exposed to shooting, which is fine, but that means that everything on that right side could be shot holding an objective except for one unit behind the crates on my back objective, and it could only hold one unit, otherwise you could see it. So for this mission specifically, on how the terrain was, this was not fun. you know, I just couldn't hide, so it was just who rolled better and did more damage won, and that's exactly what happened. That's a, you know, it's not a bad thing to have that kind of stuff happen, because then it can force a different meta to evolve out of it for that tournament. But at the same time,
Charlie's just plays pretty good into yours too, though. You guys,
I was just gonna cover that. Yeah, I was just gonna cover that. The Death Guard into Emperor's Children, when I have a bunch of sonic weapons, he's minus one damage in T5. The sonic weapon is strength 4, so my base weapon doesn't hurt him very much. And he's also AOC, so he ignores a minus one. So I need to roll sixes to get it to a 4+. If he's in cover, he's in a 3+ with the sixes. Otherwise, he's on a 2+. So it just nullifies my damage a little bit. The Land Raider did its thing, but he had his Plague Bursts that were just ripping down Noise Marines. So I haven't seen him roll that well in his mortars. I think it was five shots, two shots, and then a bunch of Marines dead. I think he killed like 16 or 17 Noise Marines on turn two. It was just disgusting. But yeah, Death Guard are a hard matchup. I need to be able to shoot him where he takes wounds, but being on a 4+ against the Blastmasters, he made quite a few saves, and I just don't have that many shots. But in my opinion, I fight overall the matchups better. I don't have – that would probably be their hardest matchup is Death Guard, and I feel like Death Guard have harder matchups than I do. So did you hear anything from Charlie on that side?
How much does this matchup change? Because I think you played your more – No, I didn't. But I was just curious, like, because you mentioned last night that you misplayed the Mortal Wound strat, I think. You had the wrong CP cost for
it. Yeah, Oh, man, why you gotta bring that up publicly? Damn, dog.
Hey, it just shows we're all human. There's never been a perfect game of 40K played, so.
Right. So, I was playing...
CP, would that help?
Yeah, okay, so what happened was I was playing Excruciating Frequencies as 2CP. It's 1CP. And, you know, I should double check that because I saw that in the GW app. And you know what? We're never going to trust the GW app at this point. So.
Well, let me grab the codex. I'll look at it here while you go through your other games.
Okay. Well, my third game was against Trey. He's a local at Minnesota. Great dude. Was a great game. He played hyper-conservatively, stayed in his back. And then when he came out, he was trying to push me off of back objectives. But unfortunately.
It is 1 CP.
Damn. anyway.
Yep, anyway, moving on.
when he pushed out, I overwatched, and my overwatch was hyper-devastating, where an entire Repentia squad just evaporated. And then when the other Repentia squad that he brought out two, the other one came into the Noise Marines as well. I fought last at them, and then the Noise Marines just picked them up as well. So
did he do the fight on death thing with the Repentia?
He did. He killed three, but that squad was illusionaried. Is that what we would be correct?
Yeah.
In the Patreon episode, we went over this, and it turns out I was mispronouncing it. Illusory.
Illusory, yeah.
That's what I was calling it, Illusory. Regardless. So, an excellent game. I think Ember's Children are a little bit rough around the edges for, whatchamacallit. Oh, gosh.
Going into, like, a melee.
Yeah, going into, like...
going into Emperor's Children can be rough.
Emperor's
Unless
Children...
Fights last, ignore that fight first thing that Emperor's Children have, which that's what Death Guard allows them to counter it so hard, is they have that fight last, don't count as fight first.
Yeah, stuff so goes way worse. An Icon, a Slaanesh, so the Plague Marines can smack me first. Ouch. Anyway, so it's
well,
the
you
fight
can't,
first
and, like,
everywhere.
You can't multi-charge Emperor's Children because, like, you just get to interrupt for free the whole way through.
Yes, exactly. And that happens to Sisters all the time. Now, if you come out one at a time...
Sisters want to send out multiple units, you know, to go out and fight.
Right. And I it's just not great form. At least that's what I found.
Well, if you come out, if your opponent's coming out one at a time, they're not able to push you off of all of the objectives,
right,
assuming you have cover and can hide it and stuff. So.
Right. I didn't go over my list because I went over it in great detail on the Patreon, guys. So if you want to check that out, it's there. Otherwise, you can check it out on the Iowag on BCP if you are a subscriber there. Moving on, round four, I played Wyatt. He's a knight player. I'm not sure where he's from. Pretty solid dude. This game got a little hairy for me, but I was able to pull it off just because the baby knights being damage,
they reduce damage by one, right?
Reduce damage by one just for being buffed. It's kind of a bummer for me.
Yeah.
And he had some Army of these wide. Ones. Yeah. And he had some of these that were ended up being permanent. From some sort of source that I didn't actually look up, so I'm gonna
get exalted or whatever it is.
He wasn't exalted; it was like a relic or a warlord trait or something, or point up something, which I'll look up.
It's the bondsman or whatever, right? Yeah, I think.
Yeah, the bondsman ability that ended up being permanent. I don't know if that shit's true. I'll look it up. I believed him. I still fought through it. I didn't have time to dig through the Knight Codex there, and it didn't seem that oppressive to me because it's just a Helvern.
I think was the basis of Alex Harrison's WTC list with, like, the health.
Right, and this is very similar to that. So he's handing out buffs everywhere.
The neg one damage, and then be able to get transhuman.
Yep, he's got a Crusader that is, like, kitted out. I was able to bring down a Crusader down to 8 wounds turn 1, and I was pretty proud of that. But Deadpool did do that, yes. So... Deadpool is the name of my Land Raider because he looks awful, and it's basically an old Dark Angels Land Raider that somebody painted very terribly. I wouldn't say it's like they did it on purpose. It was definitely somebody who was new.
It's a Land Raider.
And it's a Land Raider. And so they use massive brush strokes, and to essentially accentuate those brush strokes, I contrasted it with purple. It looks awful, and so his name is now Deadpool because he looks awful, but he still hits really hard. He slaps.
Yeah, but I'm still amazed that you went 4-1 with a fucking Land Raider.
I mean, don't sleep on the Land Raider, bruh. Don't sleep on it. Anyway, against Wyatt,
T9's thing.
The thing that I did is I stayed back and basically send out a squad to trade in the middle for OPSEC. And then once I fully committed, I committed my Demon Prince, which if my Demon Prince is kitted out, could lift a knight, a big knight, by himself pretty easily. If he's in around, as long as it's turn 3 or plus, or I use the Emperor's Children strat to turn him into turn 3 plus, which is Wanton Massacre. So I get those extra hits. Different side of it is he actually charged me, and then I fought last at him, and my knight or my demon prince just absolutely powerlifted him off the board, which he did not expect. But with Flames of Spite, with reroll the wound, and I'm strength 8, it can happen. So round 5 was against Dan Sammons. This is a fantastic game. This is pretty much a game of we're going to kill whatever that's exposed of each other's, because it was a priority mission 33. We each had our own priority objective, and we each had stuff slingshotting onto it, and we would kill each other's respective unit on there each time. But I think I broke his back a little bit when I killed four knights in one turn. I think he'll agree there. But I'd say the play of the game for Dan would be he finally got sick of me and put Abaddon up on the point on my priority objective, which he's playing Chaos Knights with Abby. And then I got sick of his shit on the bottom, so I put my 9-man Noise Marine squad down there after they had just picked up two knights themselves. So it was a fantastic game. Dan played great. I wouldn't play it any other way. But I ended up edging that one out just because of the amount of bodies I had. And I had a Chaos Spawn live where I should have died. But that's life. So that is the Iowog tournament for me.
It happens sometimes.
I ended up in like 10th because of battle points. And this is the only time I'm going to advocate for it. I think in GTs where you're going to have so many people, this is a 60-person GT that's only 5 rounds, that you need to run OGP on this, because in this current meta with Sisters of Battle, Necrons, and even Tau have easier secondaries. Just the people who have the easier secondaries that score high points are benefiting greatly from the battle point system. And I don't necessarily think that that should fly right now. I think that until the game is perfectly balanced, we do need to do it's called opponent's game win percentage. I know that some people don't agree with me. I know Charlie doesn't agree with me because he feels like battle points are hard earned. I would agree with you if everything was balanced and the same, but they're not, so I don't agree. But anyway,
but Necrons exist in the game right now.
Necrons and Sisters agree. Like Tyler did two actions, on the Scouring and got 10 points. That's ludicrous.
Harlequins, man, Harlequins.
Harlequins too. Yep. Fine, Harlequins too. Happy Harlequins.
I'm just saying there's like four or five armies that have like significant advantages on that compared to, you know, some of these that like Tyranids. Like they're strong, they win games, but they don't dominate. They don't score 100 like 90s and hundreds all the time. So
right,
they win the 80s or 70s.
Sure. But so until these secondaries are balanced, and I'm going to go ahead and say that we should use OGP. And I will specifically say it's because of my bias, because I won harder matchups, but because they're harder matchups and I hit a hard matchup, I dropped points on that. And I think that that's okay in a world where everything is balanced, but it's not, like I said. And I would just prefer to have everything just be opponent's game winning percentage. Now there is luck involved with that, but there's luck involved with BP too, right? So I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Go ahead.
I mean, the GW events, they run OGP for theirs to determine like the top 16 and top their pods and stuff. They use it there. So,
well, there, that's good. That's a plus. So,
yep. Yeah, I mean, I think this last weekend, I think the Goonhammer Open used it as well in the UK or wherever that one was at. That might have been here in the US, the one that's out in Maryland or whatever. So it's starting to see it more and more. I don't think it's as, Battle Points is obviously still the predominant one, but it's starting to catch on a little bit.
Well, I hope it does.
Well, I mean, it's really good for like, you know, you want your opponents to do well after you've played them. You know, I mean, a lot of people don't give a shit what their opponent does after you've played them, but like, you know, in this aspect, you know, you're encouraged to like hope your opponent does well. So maybe you cheer him on, whatever, you know, you hope he does well. When you say good luck the rest of the event, you actually mean it, because it'll help you.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's just some guys, you know, they always say good luck after that, you know, whatever. Some guys mean it, some guys don't, but.
Yeah, well, I mean it sometimes.
I mean it normally. I mean it when I say it too, most of the time. Unless they're playing the same faction as me.
Depends on who it is. Yeah, exactly. That's what I was about to say. You playing all there? Yeah. I hope you suck. What are some upcoming events? I know that I'm going to Gateway Open this weekend with my Eldar. That's playing on GW Terrain, run by Doug James and his crew down there, and a lot of the Forge World Columbia guys. I will be in attendance. Miles will be there. I think Sam Henley's going. Scott Sasser, my boy Scott Sasser's going. Looks like Tyler White's going to be there as well. That's about all the big names I see there.
There's a decent...
Daniel Sonse, I don't know how to pronounce the last name, if I murdered it, whatever, from Chicago area. He's a decent player, too. But there's a couple other ones here. Jim Orr is fantastic, too. He's a good opponent, too. He's never going to be a bad game, so that's good. Playing the Blood Angels. The Blood Angels, ooh. Lots of Sanguinary Guard. Looks like 21. Very close to the Art of War list.
Yeah, it's kind of thick. I mean... I think the Blood Angels really settled on a list that most of them, I think, are running at this point. So lots of jump packs.
Right. And, you know, I've ended up... I haven't played the new Blood Angels yet, but I've ended up really, really liking the Flesh Terrors version of it, just because the extra AP has been so important lately, especially with the Chaos Space Marines.
Mm-hmm.
But that is me. I like that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, I mean,
are you going to any of the KC, like KC's running the KC like events now there? There's like a KC Slaughter or something like that. I think it's Labor Day weekend. I don't know if you're going to any of those at all.
No, KC Slaughter is the same weekend as Root's Wedding, and we're going to be probably doing Root's Wedding.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's okay, that's in 2 weeks or whatever. So okay.
Yeah.
But isn't there I thought they had one like Labor Day weekend or something like that too.
I know there's a Renegade tournament coming up.
Didn't have
that
the
is
biggest turnout yet, I don't think.
A little bit different than people are used to. So check it
out.
Yeah,
yep.
It's a two list format where you have to take them from the same codex, but you get to make, let's say, a Grey Knight list with Sword Bearers and then have one that's Rapiers. But you have to play each list at least once. Teal'c by Tala and Michael Douglas up here. It looks like it's going to be fun. It's not my cup of tea, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I just prefer my straight up GT competitive side. You know, I like to keep things the same.
Yeah, it's taking a little bit
practice.
From.
Say that again.
It's kind of like taking a little bit from the like Warma Hordes, where they have a sideboard or whatever, you know, or that sideboard concept, except you have a fully different list. So you could bring like a list that just destroys knights, and then a list that doesn't, you know. So if you run into knights, you got your here's 50 Meltas going to the knight player, you know.
Right. Yep.
I feel like it'd be some real bad feel bads for potentially for knight players and something like that.
It definitely could. But it's gonna be an interesting.
But
one,
I mean, if you guess wrong, like if you want, yeah, not my cup of tea really either. But I mean, I hope people enjoy it. You know, there's lots of different ways to play 40K.
Absolutely. And I think the best thing is that all these tournaments just help build community, and that's really important right now because we need to stick together and make sure, because if we don't and we end up fractured like we used to be, in my opinion, GW is listening so much more because we are all playing the same game and we have all the same feedback. It is not a mixed message anymore, if you will, and we're not trying to fix the game ourselves. We're having them fix it, so... That is very important.
Not like it's not three different metas because you have three different mission formats, or every tournament has a different mission format, so you can't really tell what is broken and what isn't broken.
Correct. So, I mean, I like where we're headed right now. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So. Well, that's my recap on Iowa. Go ahead, Scott. You were going to say something?
Well, I was just adding to it. The game is in a great spot. You know, I know I've said it a lot of times here, but I believe it.
I fully believe it, too, and I'm super happy about it. But I don't have a whole lot more to add, but this has been – 40K is just in such a good spot right now that I just really enjoy it, so I hope it continues that way. The thing that I look forward to most in, let's say, you know what, Scott, let's go over a little bit about what our predictions are for 10th edition, because it is coming around the corner. We're right around the cycle where we're gonna get a reset too, in my opinion, because sixth ed was a reset from fifth ed, and then it was eighth edition was a reset from seventh edition. Whereas
okay,
you know, you had fourth edition, and then a fifth edition was just an improvement on the fourth edition rules, and then they reset it essentially with sixth with the allies, improved it with seventh, reset it with eighth. Index Hammer came out. Improved the rules into ninth, and now with 10th, I think I could just, maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like we're going to get a reset.
I just laugh because like you're like 7th was an improvement of 6th, which is true, but 6th was such a dumpster fire.
6th was terrible. 6th was really bad. Like Tau Commanders with Ultra Beast really
kind of
bad.
Pink, you know? I agree, and like, you know, I'm not on the bandwagon that there's going to be a hard reset. I know some people that I've talked to like, oh, Index Hammer was so great. And I'm like, I don't think you remember what Index Hammer was really like, because it sucked. It was not fun. And pure Index Hammer was okay, but as soon as codexes started dropping, if you weren't playing an army that had a codex, you were behind the eight ball.
Yeah, you're not
like
wrong.
Hardcore. Like you couldn't even compete with them if they had a codex. I don't want to go back to that.
You're not
me
wrong,
personally.
But here's what I think they're going to do with the hard reset. I don't think they're going to do a hard reset with all the stratagems and all that stuff, but I think they're going to do is a hard reset on the missions and the secondaries and how those work.
So Nephilim was to Nachman. I think there's open stuff there. So.
And now I get that nobody wants all Index Hammer, because then what will happen is Guard will come out, they'll have it for 2 months, and then we'll have 10th. And what happens when you have a new edition being released is that people stop playing, right? Unless the edition is being released like super quickly and it's going to be, you know.
As soon as it leaks that it happens, people just stop playing.
Yeah, and especially if it happens mid-season, whereas it's going to drop July, let's say. If it drops in, let's say, March. You know, March, people aren't necessarily going to stop playing because LVO happens in February and people really like to compete. I'm talking competitive 40K. But if it's in the middle of the summer, might not be that way. But
yeah, I think historically it's been that June, July timeframe. The last,
correct.
The 8th and 9th both dropped at that point. And that's when like Horus Heresy dropped. That's when Sigmar drops. So I think that's their timeframe. It's right around their fiscal year end too. So.
Yeah.
You know, me personally, I think the core rules of ninth is really good. It's solid. I don't think it's going to be tweaked too much. I think where it kind of got away from in this edition a little bit is the AP that they put out there, where just everything had AP, has so much AP that if you're not running, if you don't have invulns, you can't use those units very well. They're just going to die.
Yep.
And then just, you know, some of it's the volume attacks, but also just the stratagems. You know, like in the Chaos Space Marine Codex, there's got to be 12 pages of like strats in that, and you use 5 of them because you don't have the CP, especially with Nephilim. You don't have CP to even use more if you wanted to. So hopefully they just tone those back. So there's just like, you don't need 30 stratagems, but only 3 of them are useful.
Right.
You know, just give 4 or 5 that are useful, and that's it. And just move on. And don't make it so it's so. These super death combos you can make out of these stratagems and stuff that just kills everything.
I like my super death combos though.
Yeah, I mean it's cool. When you can pull them off, but when you do it turn one, oh here I'm deep striking in like this 5-man crisis unit. I'm gonna spend 3 CP and they get to reroll hits and wounds and they get +1 hit because within 12 inches. Skill.
Why, Ike, whatever do you mean?
Oh, I also ignore line of sight, too. Ah!
I'm going to go bear.
I mean, I'm glad that version of 40K is not really here. And, like, they were able to fix that with, like, the missions. And I feel like they're discovering some of the levers to balance the game outside of just pure codex and data sheet power. That missions can really balance the codexes as well. And I think that's A little bit of Mike Brandt being involved with like writing the missions on the competitive side. So they finally have like a guy who's run one of the bigger events for the last 10 years, helping write their rules for the
Yeah, and
missions and
I gotta
stuff.
agree
So
with you there. That's a really big deal because the fact that previously all we had was FAQs and new codex releases, and now we have a balanced data slate. Now we have missions and mission second and new secondaries that'll get updated. I never thought in my wildest dreams I would see a codex's secondaries get invalidated and replaced as fast as the Chaos Knights one did, but it did. It happened. Like they had it for like a what, a week, and then they got flipped over to the Nephilim ones.
I mean, they're exactly the same in there, but at least they're being managed in another book, so.
But they're in there as the same. They're still in there. That's my point.
Yeah, the fact that they and they didn't need to be FAQ'd. Too bad. Well, I think one of them did, but that's it. So,
Right.
I mean, I think I think Chaos Space Marines FAQ just dropped this week, and I know there's some other stuff in there that they might have been able to answer, but it was like five or six things, so. The quality of the books that are coming out from an FAQ perspective, it has been really good. The rules are clear and concise for the most part. There's not too many gray areas that exist right now.
Right.
There is the one we discussed it in the Patreon pretty heavily about the Mynheers being able to be res and stuff like that, and Ra that it works that way. And I don't think it's intended. It's something that they need to clarify at some point in time. I mean, Ra it works, but I think it needs to be clarified if
Right.
that's really what they intended.
Right.
But
I totally
their
agree.
silence on the subject tells me that maybe it is. I don't know. I don't think the Silent King was intended to be core either when they dropped the balanced data slate either, but that's just me.
I kind of think that they were like, oh, whoops.
I know it was in their articles and stuff, but I think that was just it's like, oh shit. Yeah, let's write put it in the article. I don't think they realized they had characters that were better vehicles as well as or they realize it, but they don't think they realize the implications of it.
Yep.
Him having full rerolls to hit and shooting and full rerolls to wound is really good.
Super good. Yep, I agree.
So,
So,
but yeah, I mean, I hope they take this. I hope when the next balanced data slate comes out, they take the next step to just making the game better than
I mean, we've
it
taken
currently
great
is. And I'm
strides
excited for
from
change.
sixth ed. We've taken great strides.
Yeah. Oh,
If
yeah.
I were to run fourth ed and fifth ed were way better than sixth and seventh ed, in my opinion. They still had the blasts. They had their problems. I didn't have Tau commanders giving fucking Centurions ignore cover and rerolls to hit. So I know that
Yeah.
went away with seventh, but then seventh, don't forget, was Invisible Dark Stars, Yanari, Screamer Star,
Yeah.
God,
I
I
mean,
just
my first
PTSD.
delve into competitive play was seventh edition, so and I just remember I played Tyler and like I was running Tau and I played Tyler and I had a Riptide Wing because that was great. And he was running some like Chaos Demon Screamer Star shit that was like he had like a two up rerollable or something like that. And it's just like I just shot my entire Riptide Wing into it, plus like a two Storm Surges, and I had killed one. And I was like, ooh, this is not gonna be good.
Oh,
So
no.
I think I brought I just like I'm just sitting here looking at the table, I'm like, I think I brought the wrong army to this event. Like, how did you
Yeah.
lose? Because I was already in the losers bracket. I'm like, how the hell did you lose that list?
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was like the thing though. Like, I had the Storm Surge in there because I knew stomps were a thing, and if you get lucky and roll a few sixes, I mean, that Screamer Star goes away because he rolled sixes.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah,
Ooh.
I don't miss that stuff. I ninth is light years ahead of so
I
there.
agree.
Like 10th coming out. I mean, I know people are like, they haven't said anything officially, but 10th is coming next summer. It's their schedule every 3 years. Maybe COVID pushes it back a year, but I don't think it does. Because Horus Heresy just launched this last summer, so, or
Yep.
like 2 months ago or whatever. So I it's coming. And it'll be cool. It'll be step in the right direction. They'll just keep making improvements. So,
Agreed. Agreed. But
sound like a GW Homer. I sound like a GW
whatever.
Homer, but
Whatever.
I am. Shoe fits.
Well, Yep. So again, I'm going down this Gateway Open, and then it's off to Root's Wedding, and then I believe the next events I'm taking up maybe is Flying Monkey, and then maybe the two GW events. I know one of them for sure. Scott's hitting up some GW events and maybe Flying Monkey. He's still unsure on
Yep,
that
I'm hitting
one.
both GW events for sure, and then maybe Flying Monkey, and then I will be doing. They're already out in November, but I will be doing the Renegade Open as well. So.
I will also be doing the Renegade Open, but in a different fashion. So I'll be running it.
Yeah, it's
But
always a fun event.
I don't. I'm gonna shift it over to closing thoughts. I don't really have anything for you guys, but if you want to join us on the Patreon, like I said earlier in the episode, another shameless plug. It's the www.patreon.com/AW40K, and then we also have our website up and running, which is advancedwarfare40k.com. We also offer coaching services as well. For those of you who are interested in that, we have a couple different tiers. Relatively speaking, we are inexpensive, but we do offer that, and we do have a bunch of clients that get our help and do vastly better at the game, and we'd love to help you with that. Myself, Charlie Andre, Matt Root, and Scott all do it. If you have any questions, shoot us a message on the Facebook Messenger. But other than that, you guys, thanks for listening. Scott, do you have any closing thoughts?
No, just to pile on the Patreon stuff is that we do have our Discord that is pretty active. We've got some good conversations going on. Chaos Space Marines trying to get those to work right now. So,
Right, and you will have access to the Discord if you are a Patreon. So, that's all we have for tonight. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time.